Welcome back. Remember, if you bought a house anywhere but Santa Barbara, you didn't pay enough. Today's guest, Yona Freemark, is currently a doctoral candidate in the Department of Urban Studies and Planning at MIT. He focuses on regional governance, public housing history, and zoning policy. He dealt with city design and development, politics and planning of metropolitan infrastructure. And he, at one time, was working in Chicago. He got his bachelor's in Bachelor of Arts in Architecture, and then degrees in City Planning and Transportation Planning from Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Welcome to Radio Real Estate, Yona Freemark.
Thanks for having me.
So you got your master's in Transportation Planning from MIT?
That's right, and city planning. That was a few years ago now.
I want you to know that my brother went to MIT after getting his civil engineer's undergraduate degree, and he got his master's in transportation planning at MIT.
How did he like it?
2 or 3 years later, he went to dental school.
Okay, sounds like he loved it.
So I don't want to cast any doubt on your future career, but of course you're sticking with it. Now you're getting your PhD, so maybe you won't become a dentist.
That's right. I'll become a veterinarian or something.
and maybe you can solve the housing problem for animals.
That's right.
We got a hold of Yona because he did a study. And he was quoted in an article I read about the new California housing crisis, the new bill, I should say, to solve the California housing crisis. And it states that it's often held up as a key strategy for solving California housing to increase the supply of cheaper housing by encouraging more dense construction near transit centers, known as upzoning, but some research says it's not a magic bullet. And a study published in Urban Affairs Review last month found that such zoning policies changes in Chicago over a five-year period led to higher housing prices. So Yona Freemark, the study's author, found no evidence for short or medium-term increases in housing unit construction. So we have California State Senator Scott Wiener propose SB 50,
mm-hmm.
and this article is written, and how do you address what he said? He's trying to backpedal a little bit and saying your study from Chicago might not apply to California, and what is your response to that?
Yeah, so I think one thing that's worth keeping in mind about any sort of academic study like mine is that you can only take as much from it as you're ready and able to do. And that means that, you know, I didn't study California as part of the study. I studied Chicago. And it's quite possible that conditions in Chicago were different than those in California. So I think that actually the senator's right in suggesting that we can't take any one study to definitively say what will happen somewhere else with a slightly different policy. But you can take it as an indication and something to learn from for developing future policies.
That's good. That's good. Now, we know, I don't know what downtown Chicago's like. It seems like I've been to Chicago, but it's been a very long time.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, a downtown city like Chicago, I assume there's a lot of density and skyscrapers already. And California wants to mirror that a little bit. So what did tell me what your study found?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that's worth keeping in mind as part of this whole debate about how to address housing affordability. And I should say, I definitely agree that housing affordability is a huge problem, especially in California. But one of the issues is whether we can develop policies that actually encourage new construction or whether those policies will be problematic. And so the specific policy that I look at is what you just described, which is called upzoning. And it basically means you change the rules in certain neighborhoods and say, you can build more in this neighborhood than we used to allow. And the question is, does this type of upzoning actually increase, or does it do something else?
You cut out there for a second. You posed the question. I heard you say, does it increase, and then continue that thought.
I'm sorry. The question is, when you pass a policy related to zoning, like allowing more construction, is there going to be an increase in construction or not? And what my study finds is that over the short term in Chicago, there actually was not an increase in construction after the zoning change. And so that's a concern if we want to rely on upzoning as the main way to build new housing.
And, of course, every area is different. One would think, and of course in California, land is so expensive. There's so many obstacles for developers, so much time and
that's right.
money, right? So you would think, well, I tell you what, if a developer was going to build a house that could have 5 units, but now he can have 15 units and mm-hmm. the same footprint and, yes, it'll cost more to build more units, but, you know, overall, the land is the same cost. So you can say anecdotally, well, it should be able to build, cost per unit should go down. Why didn't it work?
So I think that the basic, idea of allowing more construction in specific areas still makes sense. And I still think the developers will build more units with upzoning. The issue is that it takes a while for that to actually happen because, you know, developers have plans for new construction and those plans take many years to develop. It takes many years to go through local zoning review and planning review. And as a result, we don't necessarily see the construction as quickly as we would want it. So I think actually we will see more construction in the long term, but it's going to take many years for that to happen. So you're going to have this gap between when the policy passes and when the new construction actually comes.
My guest is Yonah Freemark, and he is a he worked in Chicago in what did you do in Chicago?
So I was a city planner with a local organization there.
Okay. And then he's now back at MIT to get his doctorate in, what do we call it?
It's in city planning.
City planning. All right, you're sticking with it.
That's right.
I don't see dentistry in your future. I just hope you floss. So it takes years. Does Chicago have a similar situation that California has? Or I should say Illinois, right? Chicago, Illinois. Whereas in California, we have so many different states. In fact, Governor Newsom is now suing a municipality because he mm-hmm. feels they're not generating and zoning for enough housing. I can't remember who he's suing. It might be Huntington Beach or something down there. Does the state of Illinois have that problem with municipalities in Illinois where cities are not planning enough for building?
Well, you know, I think the situation in Chicago is somewhat different than that in California as a whole. Chicago is not nearly as expensive to, buy a house or rent in for the most part. And there are also significant areas of Chicago that are, frankly, quite down and out. In a way that, is sort of beyond what we see in California. So in that way, they're a bit different. That said, there are communities, in the suburbs of the city of Chicago that have essentially said, we're not going to have, any apartments or any sort of, larger scale buildings in our communities. And that has produce some tension in the community, but we don't have a state that is sort of pushing for lawsuits against those cities. So in that way, we're different than California.
I think everybody is different than California.
That's absolutely right. There's no comparison.
Now, have you spent any time in California? You know, we don't have the metro system. We don't have the transportation system, mass transit, I should say, that a Chicago or New York. I was born in the suburbs of New York, and that really lends itself to higher density and people commuting. And California's got a long way to catch up, and they're just not geared. And it's just not. I mean, I think that first bill, they wanted to build like 4 or 6 story apartments. I mean, in Santa Barbara, I don't think you can go more than 2 or 3 stories. And so it would just change the landscape so dramatically that he's going to get such pushback.
Yep.
And it's just.
Well, I think.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I think one of the big questions for any place that's considering how it wants to develop in the future is, do you do the transportation first or do you do the redevelopment first? And there's no easy answer to that question. Because I think you're right that for the most part, California doesn't have as effective a transportation system as it needs. And as a result, it's harder to accommodate more people. But at the same time, unless you have higher density areas, those sort of transportation systems won't work as well. So it's a bit of a chicken and an egg phenomenon.
They won't work as well, right, because no one will be riding them because there won't be
That's
anywhere
right.
to go. I don't think, I don't know if you've heard much about the bullet train that is.
Yeah.
I mean, and that, I don't think that is really relevant to this conversation, is it? In terms of.
Well, it might be. It depends. I mean, obviously, as I'm sure everyone in California is aware, the high speed rail project is having some issues. But assuming that it was built, it becomes reasonable to think about commuting from some areas, for example, in the Central Valley into San Jose or into Los Angeles. And that may actually save people money because they can, afford housing and living in places in the Central Valley in a way they're not able to in the Bay Area and in Los Angeles region. So it actually is relevant to that as well.
It was such a huge mass undertaking, and it's as you mentioned, it's stumbling, and I don't know if it'll ever get built. And then we have the owner of Tesla. What's his name?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, and he's got his kind of subway idea that he's boring underground.
Right.
And I got to tell you, subways are just terrific. You go to New York City, you take the railroad into Grand Central Station, which is a hub from all over, and then you can get on a subway and go anywhere. I mean, it's just, but they did, I don't know when they dug the subways in New York City. Was it around 1900 or in the 1800s? I don't even know.
Yeah, between like 1900 and 1935 or so.
Is that right?
Is Most that, part, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, man, I mean, but what a job it must have been at that time.
I mean, yeah, I mean, subways are great. They're just very expensive to build. So if we can find ways to do them in a cheaper way, we can really, address a lot of transportation problems.
My guest is Yonah Freemark, former city planner in Chicago and now getting his Ph. degree at MIT in city planning. Do you see going back to Chicago?
It's a great place to live, but I don't know. We'll see if I can get a job.
Right. Well, you've done a lot. You got your degree, you got your master's, then you went into the private sector, and now you're back at MIT, and you're writing, and Yonah Freemark, you can go online. I found him. Y-O-N-A-H, and then Freemark, one word.
Pretty obvious, that last name. Yeah.
Pretty well, I liked it because you got Mark in it, and my name is Mark, so I figured you couldn't be couldn't be that bad. And but you're originally from Durham, North Carolina. Did you smoke cigarettes as a kid?
I did not, but I did root for Duke, now number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So,
all right, we'll root for Duke. My buddy from camp went to Duke, So we'll root for him. And I just figured, you know, in the Carolinas, tobacco is a big thing.
That's right.
So your study, which I did not read, I mean, if you were governor of California, I mean, you didn't really study this bill, SB 50, did you? Santa Barbara Homes Act?
No, my study is purely about Chicago, but I know a little bit about the bill.
So how far out on a limb do you want to go to make a comment about this bill and about succeeding, whether it be this bill or another plan? Would you have an alternative suggestion? What are your thoughts?
You know, I don't want to go too much into California politics, not being a Californian myself, but I think...
No, it's okay. It's okay. You're authorized. I checked.
Well, you know, I think the main thing is, as I said before, we need to think about transportation and land use together. And that means we need to think about, are people who are moving into neighborhoods, are they going to have access to good transportation options, make sure they can get around, or do we need to build that new transportation system to accommodate them? And those are the two things we need to think about together. And I'm not going to say whether I support this policy or not, but, you know, I think we need to think about those things together, and then we can come up with something that really makes sense for our cities.
And as you said earlier, if this is implemented, it will still take years, probably, to see an impact.
And that's right.
And from what I understand, we have been behind the eight ball in building, you know, like, you know, we were supposed to be building. Well, I don't want to throw out a number, but I interview Dan Walters, and he always throws out these numbers. We're so far behind in what we should have been building the last, you know, 10 years. And so there's a lot of catching up to do. Governor Newsom has pledged to build 3.5 million new housing units by 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only 6 years away. I mean, that's
a lot of new housing.
That's you know, it just seems impossible. I remember
it seems impossible, and it's not. I mean, what, you know, the thing that it's really worth pointing out is, if you move all those people into California, how are they going to get around? So, you know, cities need to be thinking seriously about how are they going to create new subways, create new transportation systems that are going to really make sure those people can move, because that's a lot of people.
You know, and we're just, you know, you could take the train from Santa Barbara to L.A., but even the train, which they built a long time ago, for many stretches is only one rail. Two-way. Oh my God. And so that would just take money, and then you get the cities. No one, I can't imagine Santa Barbara suddenly having four-story buildings around the railroad station and a hub. And it's not even a true functioning railroad station. I mean, people take it occasionally, but I don't know how many people can commute on it. It's just, it's a sticky wicket, and I guess I expected us to solve the whole housing problem during this interview, Yonah. I'm kind of disappointed.
You know, I apologize. I wish I could solve every problem that easily. But, you know, here's one thing I will say about, you know, improving transportation in places like Santa Barbara. We have, as you said, we have these rail lines that are kind of underused. The people don't have the service they can rely on. They have, like, one track going in both directions. It makes no sense. One of the greatest things we can do is upgrade those commuter rail lines and those existing Amtrak routes and other rail routes so that they provide all-day service so you can commute back and forth between different cities and rely on them on a daily basis so you don't have to wait. You can use them like a subway. And that's the kind of investment that some cities like Toronto are making right now. And that's the kind of thing that California should be investing in as well.
Boy, I don't know what they've spent so far on the bullet train to nowhere, but I got to tell you, that's a pretty bullseye suggestion, I believe. I grew up 22 minutes by rail to Grand Central Station, you know, and I lived in the suburbs. You didn't feel like you were anywhere near New York City. And you could walk 10 minutes to the station, and there were trains frequently, you know, just running.
Right.
You need two rails. It's just, you know, kind of a basic thing. So I think California just from the get-go never planned on any of this. It's just open space and spread out. and it's going to be tough to catch up. And what really surprised me is that I think about a city like Chicago, and I just look at it like New York City, and I just see tall buildings, and I just can't imagine that there'd be a need to build more housing, but there is.
Well, you know, a lot of Chicago is not like that. That is certainly true for parts of the downtown, but there are other, you know, most of the rest of the city is actually single-family homes. So, it really depends on the neighborhood that you're talking about.
Right, right. Well, God, Yonah, it was great to meet you. You sound like you're, studying this and working on it. And when do you get your PhD in city planning from MIT?
Well, you know, the thing about PhDs is they can last as long as you want them to last. So hopefully I will be as quickly as possible, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. And then, maybe you'll move to Santa Barbara. I can sell you a house.
That sounds great.
But
you're going to pay for it as well?
Richard is the financial advisor here. We'll have to put him on that. But
great.
We could certainly buy you dinner.
Okay.
Yonah Freemark, Yonah Freemark. You can find him online. And I don't know, is that just it? YonahFreemark.com?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, YonahFreemark.com, Yonah. It's great talking to you, and I guess we'll just be tracking this as we always will be with this Senate Bill 50, California Senator Scott Wiener trying to let developers bypass certain zoning restrictions and multifamily. It's just you got NIMBY and YIMBY, not in my backyard, yes in my backyard, but Yonah, very nice meeting you. Thanks for taking the time to call in.
Absolutely.
All right, have a good one.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. So let's see if Yonah gets his PhD at MIT in city planning, and then, like my brother, 2 years later, goes to dental school and forgets his whole career in transportation planning. My brother, when he got out of MIT, went to work for something called like Tri-State, which was New York, New Jersey, and who's the third state? Yeah, it should be quite obvious which tri-state area: New York, New Jersey, maybe Connecticut, or that's pretty close, or Pennsylvania, I don't know. And where did he work? But in the World Trade Center. And when was this? Might have been around the 1990s, or was it the 80s? Where was I? He's 6 years older than I am. So he might have been, it might have been in the late 80s, around 1990. I don't know when it was built. Anyway, maybe it's a good thing he became a dentist. Might have still been working there. Who knew? Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com. Interesting guest. We have... I have a comment. City of Santa Barbara, we've got De La Guerra Plaza. And do you know what the housing average house size was in the 1940s versus today?
5,000 square feet.
And I got a guy who was trying to debate getting into hell, debating with the, who's in charge of hell? The devil, maybe. Lucifer? Yeah. We got some new traffic fines in California. What do you think the most expensive traffic fine would be? Would it be not wearing a seatbelt, crossing a double yellow line, rolling through a stop sign? What do you think, Richard? Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.